just like that. No countdown. We are in. What up, guys?
We're in.
We're in. Full backseat squad. Yet again.
We should have changed shirts.
I know. We should have changed shirts.
No one's going to watch this. It's okay. Way to let the cat out of the bag from the get go.
We have AI.
Why
now.
Would we change shirts, William? Punk ass.
For no reason.
No reason. At all. Anyways.
Wants us to wear that Eagle shirt every day, every. Sorry, go ahead, Mario.
Are you done? You got fun.
Big Willie style here.
Look at him.
Big Willie style is here. Castro's here. Fonz, the eagle, has landed.
Need an eagle drop.
I know. I need a fucking soundboard for this stuff. That's the last element we're missing. And Jose and myself, of course. That's not even an eagle, dude. That's just a Native American man.
it is an eagle.
Oh, shit.
How dare you, Mario? That man's spirit.
He's so bummed, dude. This is an eagle.
Kind of looks like Fonz is trying to flash.
That's like one of those hologram covers. Like, if you look at it one way, it's an eagle. Look
at it. It's a spirit animal. Awesome.
Dude. Where do you
get
your
that shirt?
Yeah.
Where do you get this on my mind, too?
Hey, oh, the old Eagle Native American outlet, you know.
Oh, for real.
You got it. You got it down at the Kickapoo.
Anyways, welcome in, guys.
Secrets. Okay. All right.
For our first ever, I'm sorry, not ever, first preview episode of the 2024 season, year 10. We're here. 10 years in the making. It's wild. 10 years. I was telling you guys a draft night. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were the top two quarterbacks coming out of the draft that year.
Yep.
And now, famous Jameis is in Cleveland. Mariota? You in the league anymore?
He's a backup.
Oakland?
Eagles.
Tennessee?
Eagles.
All right.
Is he?
Pretty sure Eagles.
Not Eagles.
I feel like it's I can thank you, Sleeper. I can find this out right now.
You guys are kind of proving my point. He's
Washington.
Irrelevant.
Oh.
Washington. That's right. Jaden Daniels.
Really? We might actually see some of him this year. Good handcuff. Good handcuff tip. Anyways, from Mariota and Jameis to Caleb and Jaden Daniels. Times have changed quite a bit, but we're here. You know how this goes. We go through each of the six matchups for the week, stick our nose where it doesn't belong, give our opinions when they weren't asked for. Most of which I don't think Castro, you and I play each other, but everyone else has independent matchups. So almost one representative from every matchup here, minus I think I'm not going to play the guessing game right now. We'll get to it when we get to it. But a couple little housekeeping notes, a little season kickoff things to get through, and then we'll make our way one at a time. We'll see how good we are at staying on time. Now that I have a counter up top, that's certainly helping me, but let's get to it. Unless you guys have anything, kick us off.
Let's go.
I have a few things.
Nobody
you
gives
to announce your son's fundraiser. You want to give a link?
Oh, good idea. Hey, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for anybody that's donated. Appreciate it, Castro. Thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Castro and I actually both we've shared that one.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
I was also
not
part of that.
Too. Yeah, all three of us. We did that.
Hey, Fonz Meyer donated too, Dick.
Damn.
Did she donate anonymously? Anonymous?
Yeah, did she do it anonymous?
Nah, maybe. I honestly,
like,
I didn't
see the list,
I didn't,
bro. I didn't see Meyer's name.
Or at least she told me she did.
What'd
and then she said it was something with
maybe
like
she
laps.
Was the anonymous one.
Are laps involved in this?
No, it's rhythm.
So rhythm. No laps, no money for laps?
No, it's per rhythm.
She donated to someone else's kid.
Per rhythm. Yeah, I know.
Somebody had a swim team.
Last middle elementary was laps, but this is for band, so it's rhythm. Maybe she was the anonymous person. There was one anonymous person that I don't know who it was.
Oh, I think that was me, actually.
Yeah, whatever. Everyone else, I can see names.
They only so
those of you that got messages from me, it's not spam. by the way. So
it so seemed like spam.
It did. And it's weird because I have a photo saved for Will, or maybe it's the contact photo that Will set up on like on his profile card. But I got that text from a random number, but it still showed Will's contact profile photo. And I was like, that's he worded that weird. Like, it's just weird, different. It's not him.
It's complete sentences.
Yeah. It's like, I open it and I'm like, this isn't Will. Like, what's going on? So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, just cool. Thank you.
You know what's weird, Will? There's this setting I keep forgetting to tell you. When I get in my car and like it connects to Bluetooth, that kind of signifies to the phone like, oh, you're about to go somewhere, you're about to travel. Every once in a while I'll get it'll get like a message symbol in your name, and it says send a ping to William Alas to let him know when you've arrived. It's like, what the fuck? Why? Why would I do that? And why to you? It's only you. Every time it does it. It's like, do you want to share your location with William so he knows when you get to your destination? Like, why? I don't know what the fuck it is.
Do you use my locations when you drive over here?
It was to go to work. It's a daily basis thing. I'll do it next time if you care. If you even care. Mean,
I'll see it and be like, okay, got it. Mario made it to work.
Yeah, that's a weird
thing. All right, tangent for the day.
I actually thought of another one while we were talking, but it's fine. It's fine. We'll save it. Save it for next time. All right, a little bit of Flash housekeeping news before we get into the matchups. For anyone that listened a couple episodes ago, Fonz brought us a pretty cool idea. To implement a last place punishment. Miller was not super excited because he jumped hard into the rebuild status last season. To be clear, it's not just worst record of the league. Like, it is actual shit bowl champ. So Miller just got to win one. Got to win one in the loser's bracket to avoid. We didn't want to rush what the punishments were. Fonz, I think you gave a handful of good ideas. I think most of those will probably make the list. And anyone else who has anything to throw in, we can do it. But the wheel will be spun. What did we say? Off season, like Super Bowl time, something like that.
Off season, yeah. Normally, so we do the draft lottery sometime in January. It's been like mid January the last 2 years. So I think we could probably double up there and make it a whole event: draft lottery and last place punishment reveal or whatever.
Perfect. And then they'll have the whole off season to get it done. And hopefully we can celebrate, whether it's a calendar, whether it's a video, whatever it happens, we can commemorate that on the year 11 draft party, whenever that happens. But so if anyone has any ideas or suggestions, Fonz, I'll certainly take your list and we'll try to get, I don't know, 10, something decent. I'll spend too much money on some silly wheel from Amazon and we'll have it in the bag and we'll get Jay to spin it maybe. And we'll get a little more clarity once we know who the toilet champion is. So if there's any, if it's the hot ones challenge or whatever that, if you have a heart condition or whatever, if you want to rule yourself out for whatever reason, we're not going to kill anybody doing this, but hopefully have some fun and hopefully convince people that tanking is not in your best interest in general. There was another rule that got voted on. I think Warwick had proposed the Fab budget rollover option. We get $100 every year. Most of us don't really spend all of it. I mean, Justin, I think, spent no dollars until his final week of the season last year. The proposal was just to let that roll over, let it be another trade component or whatever. That ended up in a dead tie at 6-6, and any rule change needs majority, so that one. I won't say it's dead. I'd say it hit the shelf for now, because I think if it's a tie, it can just be put up for a vote again until, if somebody sees the benefits or doesn't change their mind about it this year, then we'll see at that point. But I think those are the only two things we voted on, maybe. Yeah.
Correct.
Cool.
I thought that rollover Fab was a really good idea. And I'm surprised we didn't think about that years ago. But yeah, just got shelved for now, and we'll see if it gets brought up again next season.
Anybody care to share their thoughts?
Yeah, for all over Fab, we should have penalties that cost you your Fab. So like maybe taxi penalties that cost you your Fab.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Not real dollars, but Fab dollars. Every infraction. Fracture.
Caster, I'm impressed. Yeah. That's a really great idea. I like that.
I like that. That's
good. If we start doing that, I think people would change their vote to approve the fab thing. Because like, I keep getting fucking $50 tax every year when I do something. Like, oh, I don't know, if you accidentally bench somebody on Thanksgiving morning and call and say, oh, I dropped this guy by accident. I hit the wrong button. I was dazed and confused and I hit the wrong button.
$25. Thanksgiving already.
It happened once.
It happens to the best of us. Okay, that's something to consider. Anyway, those were the only two rule changes up for debate. Fonz, yours did pass. We will implement a punishment. Specifics TBD. The FAB budget rollover is shelved for now. We'll revisit, I think, next year. One rule change that was not voted on, just overruled by commissioner committee. The auto sub feature that Sleeper offers is on. I think everyone has one per week. Is that right?
Yep, one per week. No, they can enable one auto sub per player.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I gave a screenshot of the details. I just didn't read them. And I was like, I'll just figure this out on my own later on.
Yeah, one auto sub per player. And then that auto sub you select has to play at the same time as the player you're potentially subbing or later.
Okay, so it's going to take some attention and intervention by the owner. But yeah, if you think you're going to be out of pocket, maybe in a place with bad reception, somebody's questionable for the 3 o'clock game or whatever, and you just want to have a contingency backup, that is something to your advantage. I really didn't see a downside to doing it. It just rewards those who are more diligent and on top of it. So yeah, more power to you.
Which I thought we already had that on, but it's off right now, so I'm going to enable it. So if y'all get a notification that the commissioners changed rules, that's me.
There it is. All right. I think that's all for Flash housekeeping. Can't really think of anything else. Reminder, taxi deadline. By the time anyone hears this, it will have passed. Too bad we didn't have the rule about charging penalties for reminders. I should do that every time somebody asks me what the taxi rules are, because I feel like we do that 2 to 3 times a year. I have to explain that.
Yes. We each do.
But all right, anyone else before we get into the big show, NFL 2024 week one? That's it.
That's it.
Oh yeah, you already said it. Never mind. There's Thursday night games and Friday night game this week. Friday night game in Brazil. So make sure with your starting lineups as we go through them, you have someone in place and know there is a Friday night game.
Yeah, for the people that maybe like to bench their entire roster up until the last minute.
Exactly who I'm thinking.
Not me.
I wanna do that.
Not me.
My favorite time of year every year is when I play William and I bench my entire roster until like 11:59 on Sunday morning just to get him.
Do you do it at some point? I saw.
Dude. Yeah, I 2 days ago I saw he pulled the same shit this year. I thought it was gonna be different, and then I was like, you know, fuck this. I'm only gonna start what he starts. So he had a quarterback. I threw in a quarterback, and like an hour went by, 2 hours went by, and I was like, I was getting antsy. I was like, I can't do it. This is so dumb.
So dumb. Why am I doing this?
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to research on your guys' matchup. So.
Did he set a lineup?
My brother. Yeah, I messed with him. I was like, set your fucking lineup before the podcast.
I said, nah. I'm going to do my own thing.
I'm going to do me. Well, I guess we'll get to that soon enough as we go. One piece at a time. Damn it, y'all said something that made me think of something, and then I got fucking sidetracked.
Brazil.
Oh, security. Yeah. It was 100% Brazil. Apparently, everyone hates it. All the players are pissed. Nobody's happy about it. Apparently, Brazil is gross. Yeah, everyone who you ask about it, they either say nothing or they say it sucks. I know it's your favorite place, Vin Diesel. It's the Eagles and Packers.
Eagles and Packers, that's who it was.
Which, you know, that's what the Eagles deserve, so I'm glad it's them. Gladys M, bunch of crybabies.
Except AJ Brown, somebody else will get shot in the chest over there.
Yeah, no shit. Ricky Pearsall getting shot in California.
He got shot again in Brazil. What are you doing, Ricky?
Oh my Ricky. God! I think I sent it to the Backseat Fantasy Instagram. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's a clip of from like Boys in the Hood. And it's like Cuba Gooding Jr. And it's like this was everybody, all the Niners fans looking at Ricky Pearsall, and it's Cuba Gooding Jr. going, "No, Ricky!" And some dude just pulls out a shotgun and fucking blasts this dude. Is running. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I said it's you, Fonz. You best repost that. All right,
I'll take a look at it
for the fans.
Ricky Pearsall is gonna be a badass after all this, dude. If he becomes the top wide receiver.
Apparently, he took a bullet and then wrestled the gun away from the perpetrator and like assaulted him back. Yeah. I don't know if he shot him. I didn't read the full report.
I didn't know all that.
I gotta read. But, yeah, and then he walked himself to the ambulance. I saw that. He's like on his feet, like he had a cut. He's just wiping it off. So
maybe he like skinned him or something, you know?
I don't know. Automatically a fan of that guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's opportunity here. I told Miller, a team name, idea, Bullets Pearsall. Like, come on. There's opportunities here. By the way, on another topic, but kind of the same, I messaged Justin with a similar idea, not a similar idea, but with a team name idea. And I was, hey, just throwing it out there, White and Stroud, because he has both Rashad White and CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. And then Fonz, I thought of this earlier, take it or leave it, but ASM Moore, since you have the newly acquired DJ Moore. So just thought, you know, take it or leave
totally
it.
You,
but
Lado.
You did the ASMR special last year.
You so. Did.
I thought I'd know.
Oh, he did.
Thought
I'd know. So Fonz did. Nice.
Yeah.
Deep cut. Him. Deep cut. I forgot about that.
I like
those
that.
Are all
you have one
original,
for me,
except for the. No. Those, no, I don't have one for you. No.
Cool. Fuck me,
mostly
man.
Original. The White and Stroud one I saw on TikTok.
I saw, I forget who did it, but you know the Proud Boys are like the one of the white supremacist group? They just went Stroud Boys. I'll take. William,
you took mine.
You dumb lucked your way into one. You just happened to be singing Chiquita like as you were doing it. And I was like, oh,
before.
I was like, oh shit, Chiquita. Oh, I got a guy with that
oh
name.
Oh my
like,
God, William.
You, William. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You've done it. You've done it, William. I did what?
What did I do?
So yeah, Shakira is now my team name, and I'm very happy with it. I'm happy with it. He's going to see some action this year. For sure. All right. I think we're ready for our first ever preview. Sorry, I keep saying ever. First preview of the new season. And why not kick things off strong? Castro, we're going to let you take first reins on this one. Why don't you give us some little Noe and Miller action?
Noe V. Miller. This is probably one of not the least interesting matchups. No offense to both y'all.
It's a redraft.
The rebuild team to the rebuild. Team that just got rebuilt. Notable players on both sides. Miller is really struggling. I don't see much on his side. He has Cooper Kupp, Tank Dell, Ingram, Matt Stafford. Like it's just not pretty. On his side, jumping straight into it. Sorry, Miller. On Noe's side, though, he has a lot of more interesting things to look at. He just got Jalen Hurts. He has Marvin Harrison Jr., his new toys. He's finally going to get to see Drake London and Kyle Pitts with a better QB and probably better coaching than Arthur Smith, so I'm sure he's excited about that. Anything else I really want to talk about, like for impactful players. I'm going to go through like storylines. Noe has actually never beaten Miller before in his Flash career. So Damn. This will be his first shot at it. And it looks like he has a good shot to break that streak. So hopefully he can get the job done and finally get the first win against Miller and his rebuild team. I don't think there was any real injuries to be talking about. I think Kyle Pitts maybe was injured, but I think he got like the go ahead that he's going to play or he was going to practice, whatever. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it too much. And then on Miller's side, there
plans
was,
to be 100% health. Yeah.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It's something along those lines and, no real injuries on Miller's side, to be honest. Yeah, there's not much to say about it. If anything, I would just go on Noe's side, just for maybe strategy and maybe for fun too. I think I'd rather start J.K. Dobbins than Ray Davis. Is it Ray Davis? Exact same thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a clear cut number one with the Chargers right now, and I think it's anyone's job. And I think J.K. Dobbins probably has the most talent out of that backfield. So I think I'd swap him out.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Yep,
same.
Not much I could say for Miller. There's not really a lot of things I see in your bench.
Dude, his starting running backs are Antonio Gibson and Jamal Williams. I had no idea he was that bad.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty rough. Definitely true to the name of rebuild, so not expecting.
I mean, this is what Warwick had at some point, and he somehow got some wins.
I mean, I will say that Miller has the problem is Miller's a witch, so no, you might not win.
Exactly.
What's crazy is like Cooper Kupp maybe has, you know, 1 to 2 elite years left in him, and with this current state, he's just set to die on Miller's roster. I gotta think, as players go down before the trade deadline, that someone's going to come knocking on his door trying to get that guy.
Maybe. Yeah, that's really all I got for this one. The projections are Noe 90 to Miller 75. I think that stays true. I think Noe takes this win and breaks that streak. Are we doing pick'ems?
Oh, that's something we didn't discuss. Yeah, pick'ems is not on my radar unless one of y'all want to pick him up. We can still certainly go through that process again this season, but I'm not tracking, and that's up to y'all if y'all want to. Yeah, no, yeah, not all at once. No one wants to take over the reins. So let's, yeah. I mean,
all right, then that's that's Noe and Miller. I think Noe's going to take it.
I have no desire to track, but I do still want to pick just for the shit talk. And yeah, I'm with Noe on this one. I don't know if I'm going to pick Miller to beat anybody all season unless he plays somebody with a million.
This team's rough. Yeah.
He's got no – this is his best lineup right now. He's starting Taysom Hill and Evan Ingram. He's starting two tight ends. Gabe Davis, who's – yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And I don't see it getting any better. So, yeah, Noe, big time.
Yeah, I wish I saw the light here, Miller. I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah. Bonds, Will, anything for this?
No,
hands down.
Yeah, sorry, it's pretty clear cut, right. But that's our first matchup. Throwing it to William. Go ahead.
One thing to point out as we go through each of these, so we do have three different tiers going on. And tiers are sort of like our divisions. The top four teams from last year, the 5 through 8 from last year, and the 9 through 12, they're all going to play each other twice a year. And this first week is a division matchup week. So anyone who plays now is going to play twice. So Noe is in a really interesting spot. Being in tier three, he's going to have, you know, on paper an easier schedule. And he's going to get Miller twice. And right now the rankings have Noe at like 7th place. Like, he might be able to sneak up into the higher ranks by getting some of these easier matchups after this recent rebuild he had. So a lot of things trending up, especially like the Kyle Pitts and Drake London business. And I think you're right. I think J.K. Dobbins, he's projected like 4. I think in a few weeks that's going to start being like 9+ for his typical games, as long as he stays healthy. And yeah, Noe's going to be an interesting one. I could see a path where he sneaks into the playoffs based on soft opponent and upswing on some of these players. Just to go over the tiers real quick, tier one, the defending champ, Joe, the runner-up, Justin, and then the last two quarterfinal teams, Jose and you, William. fun fact about that whole group. William, you are the only one not projected to finish in the top 5 in that tier. In fact, you're all the way down at 11, so you have a bit of a murderer's row path as the season goes on.
I like it.
Tier 2 consists of you and me, Castro, and Fonz, so 3 of us all in the same division, and Warwick rounds out the 4th, and then tier 4 is Noe, Miller, and then Scott and Isaac. Just so we know.
Cool. And with that, throw it to William for the second matchup.
Pulling up my notes. We got Scott versus Isaac.
PowerPoint.
Yes. So, right now, Isaac is projected 94, and Scott is projected 95. So, Scott has Jalen Waddle, who is questionable, but he's not on the week one injury report, so he should be good. Herbert is recovering from a foot injury. Scott has been starting him. He's going to start Jordan Love against the Eagles. And then the rookie, Adunze, is going to be the player to watch this week, I feel like, in the in his lineup to see how well he does. He's actually going to start him.
Interesting.
Yeah, in week one.
Let it rip. So
he's right off the bat. Right, exactly. Just like, all right, he's going to let it rip. Exactly. On Isaac's side, Puka Nacua is questionable with a knee injury, but playing week one. Sam Laporta is questionable with a hamstring injury, but playing week one. And the player to watch, I think, on his lineup is going to be Anthony Richardson coming back from an injury. Let's see how he does second year quarterback. The Colts is going to be interesting to watch. Is he going to be shitty? Is he not? I don't know. let's see. Isaac, something interesting that I saw was Isaac and Scott last played in last year in week 13, and Isaac won 121 to Scott 68. So we whooped Scott's ass. Another thing I found even more interesting was that in 2022, that was the other time they played, and that was in week 6, and Isaac again beat Scott 127 to 76.
Oh, damn.
He beat that ass. So, with the points here, it doesn't look like Scott's gonna get his ass whooped, but I'm gonna have to go with the data on this one, and I think Isaac is gonna beat Scott. I think he's gonna whoop his ass, but I think he's gonna win.
He has his number.
You know, Scott's projected to win and beat Isaac, but yeah, I thought those were that was interesting. That's all I got.
I have one thing, if you got nothing else.
Go ahead.
Xavier Worthy, sitting on the bench.
Good.
Word. That's where he belongs. I was going to go to.
I look at his three receivers, Puka, Ayuk, Michael Pittman.
Pittman.
And then he also has, huh?
I was going to say, get Pittman added, put Worthy.
Pittman.
In.
Well, I think I get the allure with the stack, but then he's also got Chuba, Zamir White, and Zach Moss. So he's starting three running backs, three wide receivers, but one of those could be flexed out. So there's six names in there, and he's got Worthy below all of them. So Thursday night game, it's kind of enticing to have some action on the first night. These so many times I talk myself into not wanting to have regret on Thursday night and just sit there for 3 days. Now that goes both ways, right? He could have regret for starting him or not starting him.
It's Justin Tucker going.
Justin Tucker.
Oh, yeah. But like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Justin, it's still Thursday night action.
You know what? You said he whooped Scott's ass. What's he afraid of? I say roll the dice.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard. I'm actually, and this is a stupid move. You should never do this on paper, but Brandon Ayuk has not played at all. He's going against the Jets. He's going against, what's our boy's name? Mr. Shutdown Corner?
Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner, Jets are supposed to have a stout defense. You just got to camp, hasn't been practicing. Like, I see a world where he doesn't have that good of a game. So that's a pure gut call.
I have to agree with you on that. I think he needs to find Xavier Worthy and JSN into his lineup.
Ooh. I do like JSN better this year, but that one I have to see. I have to see a little bit before.
Well, Tyler Lockett is questionable. He may not even play this week. If he doesn't play, I think it's a must start for JSN.
Yeah, I might change things a little bit if Lockett's out.
Yeah, so I honestly, like, if it were me, if this is just the beginning of what we're going to experience from Isaac of uncertainty, this is exactly what I warned him about from the beginning of the season. He's going to have too many players to know what to do with it, to know who to start. And he's already
making that doesn't get you wins.
He's already got Xavier Worthy on the bench. How are you going to bench that guy? You got to start him.
and Brian Thomas Jr. on the bench. So Xavier Worthy, yeah, Brian Thomas Jr., JSN,
all on the bench.
All on the bench. He's got sort of an embarrassment of riches. The thing is, like, not all these guys are like home run, lock it in,
right,
stardom, and walk away. So he's like sort of in the position Justin was in, where he had a lot of guys that were like fringe twos and potential ones, but no one that really was like, all right, this guy goes in and I don't think about it.
Yeah. Oh, Isaac, yeah, let me help you out if you need a unloaded receiver. We can make
something. I was like, I could use it.
Shut the fuck.
No, yeah, I really do think Ayuk against the Jets, I think that's a bad matchup. So he should definitely be on the bench. And then Zach Moss, I mean, honestly, like, I feel like the other wide receivers could be flexed into there. So really, I mean, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, and JSN, take your pick and put him in there.
But two out of the three, I would go Xavier Worthy and Brian Thomas.
Damn. I will leave it as is, Isaac. You don't listen to any of these.
I got Xavier Worthy, JSN. That's my.
I just say Worthy. Thomas is interesting, but I got to see it. I just say Worthy because I know Pat Mahomes can throw, and I know this kid can run. That's all I need for there.
Yep. I agree with that. That's my number Worthy one over IU swap.
Right. Yeah. I think we're all in agreement. Worthy over Ayuk all day.
All right. Not as complicated on Scott's side. Put him in Conkey. I just want to see it. I just want to see it happen. All right. Informal pick 'em. You said Isaac?
Isaac.
Yeah, I'll go with history. I'll say Isaac.
I'll go Isaac too.
Also Isaac.
I got Scott. Unless Isaac makes those changes, I got Scott.
Fonz's worst nightmare.
I'm sure you got one night. Like, we're going to know in less than 24 hours if Worthy was the right call. We're going to sound so stupid.
We're going to get so much shit.
We're going to sound so stupid. Oh, my gosh.
That's the point. Like, when we make a take, and I don't always go back and listen, but when I do, and I just know it's wrong, and we keep talking, like, just shut up. Please just shut up. Just stop. All right, who's next?
That'd be you, covering Fonz and Warwick.
There we go.
Come on, dude. Perfect. Man.
I got so many windows, man. I need two. I don't have three monitors like you. This shit. All right. And the best. All right. Fonz and Warwick. All right.
Moving on.
Given that this is week one, I want to talk a little bit about your history. So Fonz, 5-8 overall record last year. Finished in eighth place. Draft picks of note, we talked about last episode. Trey Benson, Xavier Leggett, big acquisitions, DJ Moore, and the Gus Bus. Ironically, acquired DJ Moore from your opponent this week, Warwick. And you'll
my brother
be going,
changed his team name.
You'll be going against Keon Coleman, who was involved with that trade.
Nobody cares.
William, yeah, wait your fucking turn. God damn.
No, I was trying to say I changed my team name.
Yeah, no one cares. You just said no one cares and then repeated it.
No, because I do want you to care. I took Jesus' advice.
I saw it. Let me get to it.
God damn. Who's doing this? Shit.
Fonz, last little note for you. You are 47-55 all time going into year 10. You have a .385 winning percentage. You got to turn this thing around soon. You're projected to finish sixth overall, so it calls like, you know, a decent at least winning record. But yeah, you gotta start doing some work here. I think those are most of the notes from you. Your opponent this week, Warwick, 8-6 last season. After winning the title in 2022, he missed the playoffs last year, even though he finished in sixth because he lost on the points tiebreaker to you, Jose. Snuck right in, and because I lost to you in the first round by like a point, I went to look at Warwick's week six, and he scored like 130 in the first round of the playoffs. So it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have been any better. So Warwick is 41-40 all time, just narrowly above 500. Notable additions: Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, Ben Sinnott, and I think that's about it. Head to head all time, Warwick owns the record over you, Fonz, 5-3. So I want you to keep that in mind as you set your lineup coming into this week. Going over your rosters a little bit, think most of your guys are kind of set and forget key storylines. I think, you know, CD got his money. We know that. He'll show up. We'll see what kind of game shape he's in after skipping all of training camp. Your tight end, one of your many tight ends, Dalton Kincaid, I think he's kind of poised for a big year. He's like the last guy standing from that receiving core, the pass catching core last year. We know Keon Coleman's there. We know Shakir's there. But I think Kincaid is the most consistent, and I think he's just going to kind of get flooded. I think he's going to be a safety blanket of sorts. So I think he's poised for something big. You added DJ Moore. You added the Gus Bus. We'll see if he has that touchdown equity. We know Jim Harbaugh loves to run and loves defense. So even if J.K. Dobbins does get more work, Gus Bus, he's like who Jamal Williams light, right? He just, when they get in close, he's just that battering.
He's going to be the one to punch it in, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that you have the Bears D starting against the Cowboys when you have Dak and CeeDee going against the Browns this week. Don't know if you have much.
Right now my roster is one player over the limit. So I had to drop a player to make a change. I was trying to pick a better defense. I like the Browns, just not the first matchup against Dallas. I like the Browns for this season, though. Mm-hmm. I don't want to drop a player right now, just yet. So I may just roll it. Yeah.
Why don't you put somebody in the taxi squad?
My taxi's all full already.
Oh, William's like, why don't you just cheat it like I did? We're checking, William. Checking it tomorrow.
That's why it hasn't changed yet. I definitely do want to change it. Like, I don't like the matchup against the Cowboys. But
so who are you going to drop?
Figure that out later.
I think
it just caught my eye because you have the quarterback and wide receiver. The other interesting thing, Cowboys rookie Jalen Guyton, offensive lineman, he's going against Myles Garrett. Kind of a tough welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah.
But you could see a world where, like, you know, maybe he gets three sacks or, you know, the line in general gets three. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dak and CeeDee still get theirs. It's not impossible. Just it's a little scary to have those head-to-head like that.
Exactly.
Last little footnote for you. I mentioned it earlier. Keep an eye on Luke McCaffrey down there. No Jahan Dotson anymore. I'm not saying start him, but he's just going to be an interesting thing to see what his usage looks like. Over on Warwick's side, starting wise, I don't know. I don't want to throw too much of a hand here. I don't know what Jamar Chase's status is. You know, as he has T. Higgins in a starting lineup, that could potentially be good. I think Neighbors is just going to get flooded with targets. There's just nobody there. Even though it's Daniel Jones, he can, you know, he throws 15 of them to his way. Right. He'll catch
it
up.
Yeah.
Who is the starting running back? Aaron Jones. Okay. So he's got Ty Chandler starting. Man, Warwick's been hurting at running back for a couple of years. Ty Chandler starting. The one that's most curious to me here is Ben Sinnott in his starting lineup. I debated whether or not to say this out loud, especially because I looked to see who the worst tight end ranking was, and it's William. But I looked and saw like three or four tight ends that I think are going to have a better week than Ben Sinnott. First of which is his teammate. I think Ertz is going to be the more usable tight end on that field until we see otherwise. So the fact that he's got him in the starting lineup is kind of surprising to me. I would definitely make that swap.
No pickups on the show.
Everything's locked. Right. Everything's locked. Everything's locked.
It's Will.
Not locked.
So it's locked right now until waivers clear. So speaking of which, I think tonight should actually be the last night because now we're in like normal week mode. So I think unless you guys have an opposition, I'm going to let tonight process. And then tomorrow is just going to be open field, except for the Chiefs and Ravens, obviously, who will, after they play, like they'll get locked. But I think we're ready to go into season mode on this one.
We are.
That's all really soft for those guys. Obviously, you're going to be watching Trey Benson. And I think Bucky Irving maybe is a little interesting too. And Marshawn Lloyd. There's going to be a lot of like guys you're going to be interested in, Fonz. No one to start just yet. Bo Nix even. Keon Coleman on the other side is on the bench. But I don't really see anyone that I'd feel comfortable swapping him out for. Just kind of a sit and wait.
Agreed.
That's all I got for these two. Projection wise, Fonz, your lineup is it's pretty stout, like almost top to bottom. Like Gus is a bit of a wild card. But outside of that, just solid. DJ, Olave, CD, Montgomery, Kyren, like Dak. Yeah, you're it's gonna be interesting to watch the little jostling for the final playoff push. It's gonna be a competitive year, I feel like.
Yeah.
But your projection is substantial, 99.3 to Warwick's 86.4. I'm gonna go with chalk here. I'm gonna take Fonz.
I'm gonna take Fonz too, my boy.
Yeah.
Fonz.
Woo!
I'll choose my brother.
What?
You got my us. Brother.
I got
all right, we are halfway done, fellas. Three down, three to go. Next up, I think it's you, Jose.
It is me. Very clean so far, very clean. All right, I am taking on Castro versus Mario matchup. This is 2023's fifth and sixth place finishers, 2024's first and eighth post-draft pre-regular season ranked teams, second and third ranked all-time regular season wins. This is their 13th time meeting the regular season. Regular season head-to-head, Mario 4 games to Castro's 8. Last met 2023, week 2, where Mario won 77.6 to 65.88.
Suck it.
I'm going to start on
77 to 66.
Great matchup. I'm starting on Mario's side. I'm going to go over the key players in from my perspective.
All of them.
And I'm going to cheat a little bit because the key players, in my opinion, are all three wide receivers that Mario has. Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson. Two of three with favorable matchups. The third being Justin Jefferson. Not so favorable, but this guy, so they say, is QB proof. You start him every week no matter what. That's a key player. Week in and week out. Fun fact, last year, Mario went 5-1 last season when all three wide receivers were started and played the entire game. So how can they not be the key players in this matchup?
Boom.
Honorable mentions though on Mario's side. Derrick Henry, new team, same king, versus Kansas City. And finally, Caleb Williams, the rookie that Mario Caleb drafted version. With the
Woo!
Please.
Can't get that high. Do it, dude.
Yeah, do it.
And finally, Caleb Williams, the one position, Mario's admitted to this, but the one position he's been struggling with the last couple of years, finally has someone that has really the entire offense built around him and has all the weapons he needs to succeed. So eyes on that spot, on that position on Mario's side. Of course, there's other players on his team that I could cover, but sticking to the key ones, in my opinion, that's on Mario's side. On Castro's side, I see Jonathan Taylor versus Houston. This is interesting to me because Jonathan Taylor, I don't think, got a ton of time with Anthony Richardson last season. I think Jonathan Taylor was out the first four or five games, and then there was a weird overlap where I think they might have played one game together, Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, but then Anthony Richardson went down with the injury. So, you know, there goes that pairing. So Jonathan Taylor is, you know, a monster at running back, but I have him as a key player from my perspective just because of that pairing, and I'm excited to see what happens on that offense with both of them on the field. Also Jamar Chase, obviously, but we don't know if he plays. Does he play? If he plays, it's against New England. I think they're one of the lower ranked or one of the lowest ranked defenses out currently in the NFL. Could be wrong, could be confusing that with Carolina, but you know, obviously, if he plays, huge factor there, and you have the stack with Joe Burrow. Also, Alvin Kamara versus Carolina. I'm pretty sure, for real this time, Carolina has the worst ranked defense in the NFL. So that's going to be a key matchup there for you. Moving on to injury and lineup updates. Nick Chubb, as we know, on Mario's side, suffered a week 2 injury in 2023, so he's still on the PUP, or he is on the PUP list, and you know, you'll be without him for at least the first 4 weeks. Lineup changes seem to be deciding, at least earlier from what I saw, because at one point I saw Shakir in the starting lineup on Mario's side, and it looks like that is now Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed has a higher projection, but personally, I favor Shakir over Reed just because I'm hopeful and selfish for a big game from Josh Allen. And Shakir is like one of two established pass catchers on that offense.
A nice matchup too. I'm not really afraid of Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Castro, no injuries on Castro's side, but again, will Jamar Chase play? He probably does, right? Huge impact if he doesn't though, because then we'll have to either slide Hopkins, Palmer, or possibly Dobbs in there. Dobbs would be my pick out of the three if needed. I can't remember. I don't think the Eagles secondary was all that much. And I don't know I pay very little attention to the Eagles defense, but I don't know if they've improved for this season. But obviously that's a decision you'll have to make early because they play Friday night. So, and before I get to predictions and projections, I have a quick fire question for both of you since you're both on the pod. What's one dilemma you're having about your starting lineup? And if there's no dilemma, or if I've already said it, who's one player you think will exceed their expectations or their projections?
Go ahead, Mara. You go first.
My only dilemma is that second flex spot. Not that I don't love me some Jaden Reed. I think he's awesome. In his last playoff game last year, he crushed it against Minnesota. But there's just so many weapons in Green Bay with Christian Watson and Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks and all that stuff. It's definitely my heart that has him in the lineup right now. On the flip side, yeah, Shakir, I've been watching for a couple of years. People were clowning me when I traded Deshaun Watson for a third round pick that became Khalil Shakir 2 years later, not looking so bad. I agree with you. It's Kincaid and it's Shakir. The other kid is a rookie and the other guys are unproven. Like Curtis Samuel's a veteran, but again, he's still kind of the new kid in town. I think Shakir is going to be out there. I think Josh Allen is going to be hungry to prove that he's not a nothing without Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs around. And I can see him getting loose for like 8+ targets. And especially in a game against Arizona, where I don't think they're going to have a good defense. I think they're like a shootout material team.
Yep.
And then there's my boy Javonte. I love the idea of running backs because they're like guaranteed touches. You know what I mean? But just so many times watching him last year get subbed out for McLaughlin and he was only playing half the snaps. Like it was just brutal to watch. I know Sean Payton says he's healthier now and he's better, but I think I have to see it. So right now, if I had to make a change, I think Shakir is probably going to move up.
I don't think I have any real dilemmas. Like besides Jamar Chase, that would be the dilemma. Or if he doesn't play for whatever reason. And I think I wouldn't go Romeo Doubs because he had a hand injury. I think I might go actually Palmer if it does happen. No one's proven in that offense. His competition, I think, would be Ladd McConkey. And I think Justin Herbert's playing, right? If I'm not mistaken. He is playing.
I think so.
Yeah, so yep. I think he trusts Josh Palmer out of everyone there the most. So I think he would get fed with targets. So if that would happen, that would be my play probably. The other thing that I think that a player is going to overperform, I think Najee Harris is going to do better than I'm expecting. I think with Arthur Smith, surprisingly, and Tomlin, and actually he was doing decent at the end of the season. Hopefully he'll get goal line touches versus Warren. And Warren's going to play, I think, but he's still not 100%. So they'll lean more on Najee for it. But that's all on my side.
That's a good point. I forgot the overperform portion. Right now, I have Shakir in. I think he could easily outperform 6 points. That's the straightforward answer. The sexy answer is my boy Caleb Williams dropping 25 in his first ever appearance.
Who's he play?
Tennessee.
Titans.
Yeah. You know he's putting up more than 16, even though my quarterbacks never did that last year.
I was going to say.
We'll see. It's a game changer if I get one of those.
I'm just happy to start off the season healthy and for the most part with all my players. Jamar Chase is the only question mark. Last year was definitely not the case where I didn't have players because of different issues. So this is nice.
Best of luck to the both of you. Current projection right now has Mario over Castro 108 to 104. If I had to pick, it's really those three receivers that stand out to me and the potential for Caleb Williams. So all that combination, I'm voting Mario here. Bros. Or any other parting shots?
I think Mario finally having a QB on his roster is gonna make him pretty unstoppable. So yeah, I got Mario on this one.
Thank you, Fats. Thank you for recognizing.
Fuck off. What's up, Bennett? I'm gonna go with Mario on this one. I don't like Najee Harris.
Oh.
No. I think it's gonna be a close one. I think Mario's gonna take it though. It's gonna be a close one. I think it's gonna be a good game.
It does seem like the heavyweight match of the week. Castro, you and I have the two highest projections in the league at the moment.
Damn straight.
Going head to head.
That don't mean shit if you lose.
If Jamar Chase doesn't play, I don't think I have a shot. But if he plays, I think
game on.
Yeah. I think Burrow just fucking shoves the ball down his throat and like, give this man money.
You got a lot. And you have the Bengals D, the Bengals kicker, Jamar Chase, and the Bengals quarterback. You have a lot riding on that Bengals game.
Yeah, I don't want the Bengals D. It's just for this week, probably. But I don't want to play the Jets against the Niners. I might still do it. I'm not sure because the Jets are supposed to be good, so. Yeah, probably stays Bengals because Brissett. I'd take that matchup, but we'll see. And they have a horrible O-line, I think, the Patriots.
Makes sense. Yes. All right, that it for us?
That is it. Moving on.
All right. I got these versus my brother. The only two people with two championships.
Thank you.
Under their belt. So yeah, we got D's with a regular season record of 71 wins, 51 losses. That's really good, D's. That's really impressive.
That is the league leading regular season wins.
That makes sense. Yeah. My brother is not so great at 58 wins and 64 losses, but still, I think mine is worse than that. So I can't say much about that on there.
47-55 Fonz.
Good job. Back that.
Head to head with D's and my brother.
I'm sorry. It was a typo. It was 47-75. Okay.
Oh my God.
My bad. Continue.
I have a bad look. Head to head, they're going into their 12th matchup. And right now, my brother has 6 wins to D's 5 wins head to head on there. The interesting thing that I found about this is that my brother's been in the same division as Mr. D's for 2 years. And during those 2 years, my brother beat D's every single time. When they weren't in the same division, D's lost, or D's got more wins than my brother did. So now that they're back in the same division again, If we go off at least this data, my brother should win this matchup again twice this year.
I don't like that.
This is also the time that my brother won the 2 championships back to back during these years. That'd be interesting to see how that plays out because I don't think it'll happen again. But just for the story's sake, that just sounds really fun happening again. going into their lineups, we got D's projected at 100.88 to my brother's 93.83. D's is already projected to win on this one. On D's side, I really like your lineup. You got Barkley, Allen, A-Chain. That's going to be great for you. But I think Deebo Samuel is kind of where I'm kind of leads you there. Again, I was talking about the matchup against the Jets. I really don't like. Based off of what you have available on your bench, I think maybe you kind of roll the dice a little bit with Keenan Allen on that one. But I'm not sure how much you want to trust that. I mean, Deebo Samuel is still a great wide receiver. So Garrett Wilson, I think you leave in there. George Kittle, as your tight end, that was something else I was thinking as well, that you should kind of move out of there and probably put Pat Freiermuth.
Bowers.
Bauer. I was waiting for it. Fire him up.
Shoot, why not? You know, yeah,
you got, you took him. You took him. Might as well use him.
Yeah, you know, that'd be a bold move. I wouldn't be totally against that. But, yeah, I don't know how much I trust. I mean, someone's going to get the ball for the 49ers. I just don't know who it's going to be. I guess the Jets defense. So that's starting two Niners on that matchup just kind of seems a little crazy for me. So I just would recommend maybe just one of those being switched out. And really, honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but Sam Darnold going against the Giants, I feel like is going to be throwing all day. I with the Vikings weapons, I feel like there's going to be a lot of points on the board there. I know it's a crazy thing to start him over Josh Allen.
There's a big brother at work here.
Yeah. I do like Sam Darnold.
You should probably bench Josh Allen. I mean, it's not a good pick.
I know it's crazy.
It's crazy. All right, that's the first thing he said.
Right. Yeah, I heard him say, "I know it's crazy." I was like, "Don't say Sam Darnold."
Yeah, like, yeah, you see, even you knew you feel it. Right? If you saw Sam Darnold, crazy. But we'll see.
Y'all want to bet on that?
On my brother's side, he's got all great on all his players, except for DeAndre Swift. I really don't think I can't see any you benching DeAndre Swift, to be honest. So I'd. Maybe Zach Charbonnet, but yeah, I think you leave your lineup as is, in my opinion. And that is it. Again, these projected to win 100 points to my brother's 93 points. I think I'm going to have to go with D's on this one, on his matchup. He's going to win.
Yeah. Really quick before y'all vote, I think the Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, those have been the ones that are, I feel like it's up in the air, but it sounds silly to sit them. Week one, I know the Jets defense is amazing. I just have a hard time sitting the guys who could boom that week. I am kind of up in the air on those two, and Freiermuth would be the back. Obviously I have three tight ends, but Freiermuth would be the next in line. If I sit George Kittle, I just have a hard, I don't know if I can stomach sitting George Kittle.
well, I, yeah, probably, I would probably feel more regretful if Deebo Samuel went off because, I mean, Deebo Samuel is used in so many different ways in the 49ers offense that I feel like he's the one that's going to benefit the most. He's just so versatile in that team. They put him anywhere, everywhere. He just can't stay healthy. So that I feel like maybe he'd be the one that's going to benefit the most with whatever changes they make to adjust to the Jets defense when it comes to Monday Night Football.
Agreed.
Are we picking?
I mean, I got these on this one. Although it would be really great, and I would, if my brother did win, and history repeats itself, where my brother just owns you when you guys are in the same division.
Oh my gosh! Are you done?
Yeah, I'm okay if that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Big brother,
William help. Owning me is not something I'm ready to admit.
He was heating up towards the end of the season, so.
No, he wasn't. Like, it was the start of the season. I think he was good.
I would have won the championship if I moved on to the next.
On an island, bro.
If only I won every game, I would have won the championship. It's that easy.
With Castro.
Did we talk about Williams' lineup?
Yeah, it was. I didn't say much about it.
It's perfect. Not much to say. Size.
The only thing I'm looking at is Isaiah Likely. Like, I know he did fine when Andrews was out, but Andrews is back. Andrews is back in.
Mario has a problem with every one of his players' backups.
Looking at his usage, looking at his usage when Andrews was playing, it wasn't great. And like, I know he's been there developing another year. Maybe they run more two tight end sets and maybe he gets more, but he just wasn't getting a lot of action when he wasn't the starter. So that one kind of freaked me out. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a handful of, available tight ends on the free agent waiver wire. So I don't know if your plan is to run with a backup tight end all year long. My sloppy seconds for some reason.
Damn.
Mark Andrews will be irrelevant.
Will be relevant?
If you were hoping for an injury, he's on the right team. I did lose him last year.
We'll see. I picked D's.
I heard that they might run a P tight end. But I don't know. I haven't decided yet, for sure.
Well, I've decided that I hate it, so I pick Jose.
Yeah. I picked these two. D's is a man.
Sweet time bowl.
Cool.
Didn't pick you.
Your brother didn't pick you, yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I lost a lot of my picks because I chose my brother.
Exactly.
We're not even tracking it this year and he won't pick you.
I'm on a winning season. I want a winning season this year, so yeah.
All right, last one.
Yeah.
And it's mine.
Bring us on.
It is the premier matchup or rivaling matchup because they were just both in the championship. Joe versus Justin. Oh. I don't know what the score was exactly, but obviously Joe took that one. I don't remember if it was close.
I think it was pretty convincing. I'll find the score for you. I'll find it for you if you want to go.
Please and thank you. But a little bit about story. Yeah, it is the rivalry matchup, the revenge tour for Justin, possibly. These two have met only twice before, and they're both 1-1. They're one apiece, so this is going to settle the tiebreaker. Justin is regular season 36-32, 5.29. 0.529 winning percentage. And Joe is 19-9. 0.679 ever since Joe took that team. He did take it from someone who completely rebuilt it. I'm still shocked that this team is a complete 180 from what it was originally. But let's get into the matchup.
127-108 in the championship. Joe won that one.
127-108.
Pretty good spread.
Yeah, it was a decent spread. Respectable scores on both sides, but
it's true. We've had worse.
pulling up the matchup. So I don't think there's any. Oh, there is injuries actually. Christian McCaffrey is questionable, but he was officially back in practice. Other than that, I don't see any injuries for neither Joe nor Justin. So I'm just going to go into the impact players that I think are going to be impactful. The one I'm curious about is for Joe. He gave up Jalen Hurts for Jared Goff. He's put Jared Goff in for this one. I don't know if it'll make much of a difference. It's definitely not Jalen Hurts in a normal matchup because the rest of his team's so strong. I don't think it would matter, but for this matchup in particular, I think it's going to be huge just because Justin on the other side is just a juggernaut and has, from top to bottom, just a solid team. Lamar Jackson, QB, running backs are solid, wide receivers are solid, leading with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, even the flex positions are pretty good. Defense is good. This is probably, if it wasn't for me and Mario's matchup, this would be the next. This is the next best one. So, on projections, we have right now as it stands, Joe at 103 to Justin's 100 even. There's not much I would change about their matchups. If I had to change someone, it would have to be probably Justin. But I don't see anyone on his bench that I really consider changing. So
yeah, Justin always have what has one of the toughest start sits things. The only storyline I'm watching is Dave Canales leaving Tampa, and he's the one who loved to run Rashad White over and over and over again. And he wasn't good. Like his point, like I know he got a lot of points, but it was all pure volume. So I'm a little worried that that's going to regress. And over time, like, you know, Raheem Mostert, Tony Pollard, those might seem like more obvious starts as it goes on. That's going to be my suspicion.
Yeah, I see that too. Man, on Joe's side, though, he's pretty deep with depth. Like he still has a couple pieces he could put in. I'm curious to see what Austin Eckler does with the Commanders. That one and Terry McLaurin actually too. Mm. The Commanders offense is probably just going to change so much. He has someone named D. Adams. I don't know who that is. Probably no one does. Not important. yeah, not really any advice. I think they're all set with the best lineups they could put out there. I'm going to pick one. I actually think Justin's going to pull this one out. Going for the underdog on this one.
Yeah, give me Justin in the revenge game. Speaking of revenge game, I didn't realize Jared Goff is hosting the Rams. Another rematch, his old team.
On there. Dang. Anyone else?
Yeah, thoughts? Also taking Justin, and it's probably worth calling out because if he listens, he's probably going to be like, what the fuck? Joe's not going to like that you called Justin a juggernaut because Joe's team name is literally the Juggernaut.
I was going to mention that.
So,
I mean, they're both, I said they're both were juggernauts, I think.
Nah.
I heard it on Justin's side.
Yep, you're like, he has a juggernaut team.
I think I heard that. Justin, pick a damn team name. God damn, speaking up.
Yeah, Justin, give me something to go with. Put the Justin Knots.
White and Stroud, I'm telling you.
White there you Stroud.
Go. Yeah, actually, that makes sense for him too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Justin on this one.
Wow, everyone's going underdog. Fonz?
Yeah, I got Justin on this one. I like that he wins this this matchup around, and I think you brought up a lot of good points. I think one of them being that he traded Jalen Hurts away, now he's stuck with Jared Goff, and that's going to be okay for against everyone else, but against Justin, his juggernaut team, he's going to take that title away from him.
Yeah, and Joe has Purdy on the bench, but like I don't think I want him against the Jets. The Jets have Sauce Gardner, and I think their like defense is solid all around. They were like defense number two sneakily last year, even though they were a bad team. So, yep. I think this one goes to Justin. Go ahead.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Fonz. Jared Goff will be fine. There's a bunch of numbers on his indoor versus outdoor splits. Half his games are indoors because he plays with the Lions. And I think there's some number, like 14 of his 17 games are indoors or something like that. Mm-hmm. Problem is two of the outdoor games, week 16 at Chicago, week 17 at San Francisco. Those are two of the outdoor games, and it's crunch time. So, yeah, something to pay attention to in about 16 or 17 weeks if Joe is still around.
Hey, real quick, side note. I don't know if I noticed this last year or if this is something new this year, but Joe put something under most of his players.
Oh, he gave nicknames,
you guys see that? Yeah, like little nicknames.
Originally, that was Jacob.
It was.
And I think Joe updated a lot of them, though.
No. Just saw that. The Adams family. Da-da-da-da.
You've never noticed that?
I don't remember if I remember that from last year.
Yeah. That's been since that. I don't think Joe did much. I think he thought it was part of it just because Jacob changed every single name. He gave every.
I remember that. Yeah.
So then what are you talking about that you don't remember then?
I don't remember, like, if it's updated, like, new names, what? Like,
you need to go to sleep. You need to go to sleep.
Tell him, Fonz.
Captain Kirk sounds familiar.
Tell him, Fonz. That's
Brock Lobster.
One final thing I want to share. Last episode, we gave 2024, like redraft season long rankings. I didn't give the updated like fantasy, dynasty, long term outlook ranking. So I just want to share those real quick while I have them up. Ironically, Joe, who we just covered, he does rank last in this category. I think he's fifth on the season, but ranked last for long term. William, you finished 11th in both categories, both short term and long term. It's very impressive. Stop trading away your damn draft picks, and you can climb this ladder a little bit.
Nah, you don't need those picks.
Trade another one.
Warwick comes in at 10th. Miller, team rebuilt, currently at 9th. Last in QB, last in RB, first in draft picks though. So that draft pick capital alone is lifting him up. He might secure more if he does move a Cooper Kupp type as the season goes on, but we'll see. Scott comes in 8th. Castro, you come in at 7th. Jose, you come in at 6th. Justin is at 5. Fonz, you had not heard your name called yet, all the way up at number 4. Noe, number 1 overall draft pick, Noe, is now in 3rd, ranked 1st in QB and 5th in wide receiver after the addition of Marvin Harrison and Jaden Daniels. I come in at 2nd. And Isaac is now 1st overall after his massive dump off to pretty much Joe. I think he just stole all of Jay's futures for the most part. But yep, he sold and sold and sold, and the long-term outlook looks good. Ranked 2nd in wide receiver, 2nd in tight end, 2nd in picks, top 5 in QB. Running back is his only weakness. So if you're looking to sell, sell RBs to Isaac.
I might.
Just keep that in mind. I can share that list if, you know, Fonz, I know you thought it was helpful when you're talking trade and all that stuff, but if anyone wants any of that at any point, just ask. It's a site I plug it into, and it's objective, I swear. I know I'm near the top in both of them, but it's just the first one that comes up.
I like the data, but it wasn't helpful because nobody believed the data. So I'm going to focus on making proving that data all year. This year.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Fine. Here we go.
Yes, that's why I sent the updated, because I know we like to go back and compare. That's it. That's it for the week 1 preview. Programming note. I will be out of pocket for the next 4 episodes, actually. Our next scheduled record date is set to be next Wednesday. I will be across the world in Japan, and I will still be there the following week when we do that. So I'm going to miss the recap of week 1 and the preview of week 2. And I think that's it. I might be back to recap week 2 if I'm lining the weeks up correctly. But that is going to be more episodes than I've missed in the entire 100 episode span. I think I've only missed 1.5, and I will now miss 4. So confident in you guys. I look forward to having data from the other side of the wall and yelling at my phone and laptop while these things go. Crossing my fingers, I have enough internet connection. I'm going to make big use of that auto sub feature, I think, just in case.
Oh yeah. So
I don't know what circumstances I'll be in, but yeah, looking forward to being on the listener side for a few episodes.
Hey, we have structures and a reliable system. What could go wrong now? We'll be just fine.
It took us how many years?
We're at under an hour 15.
Pretty much done. Not
good.
Bad.
Suck that for you.
Yeah, so with that in mind, next time you hear from us, we'll be recapping and seeing who was right and who wasn't. I might listen and take notes after. I'm so looking forward to Sunday. I'm so looking like all these storylines that are coming through, how the rookies are going to do, how the new players are going to do. It's I'm looking forward to just popping open Red Zone and just writing all this shit down, even though I can't share it. I might deliver some notes in Slack just on my behalf.
We don't want
them. I think most of us had like the same picks on some of these wins. I think we did that last year too. We're like, we're going to play it safe. And it was just like, I remember Isaac complained because it was like, you guys are boring. You guys are picking the same picks. But then at some point we get into it. It's like, okay, all right, we're feeling it. All right. It's going to be exciting week 1.
Isaac complaining just doesn't even register anymore. Like, this is far from the course. just happens. But all right, next episode recap, and I'll see y'all on 5 episodes. So
boom, chakalaka, boom.
Good night.
Big Willie,
peace out, everyone.
Adios.